Model year 2004 to 06 F-150s can unexpectedly go off. Fox News Radio, fair and balanced.
Well, the economy is at it again. It's up, it's down, it's sideways. Frankly, it's confusing. At Advance Auto Parts, we're going to make things simple for you. Right now at Advance, we're offering you 5 quarts of Castrol GTX conventional motor oil plus a Fram Extra Guard oil filter for only $17.99. See store for details. We got the high-quality supply, you get the money-saving demand. That's economics everyone can appreciate. Advance Auto Parts. Service is our best part.
A message from a real informant.
I work in the IT department of my company. Early into the job, I learned that we were using unauthorized business software. I told my manager about it, but he chose to ignore it. It really bugged me that we were pirating software. I knew it was wrong and illegal, so I reported it confidentially to the Business Software Alliance at nopiracy.org.
Report business software piracy confidentially today at nopiracy.org. Call 1-888-NO-PIRACY or search BSA. You could even get a cash reward.
Stocks are falling on Wall Street as we get new reports on the economy. Fox Business Network's Lauren Simonetti live watching the markets.
Dave, the number of people applying for unemployment benefits rose for the first time in 3 weeks, up 27,000 to 412,000 last week. But analysts say the overall report is consistent with an improving job market. While higher prices for gas and cars helped send prices at the wholesale level up 0.7% last month. But skip volatile food and energy costs and prices added 0.3%. 27% fewer people lost their homes in the first 3 months of the year compared to a year ago. But that's tied to paperwork problems. The Dow right now is down 79 points. Dave.
Now, oil prices were down earlier. Now they're up nearly a dollar to almost 108 bucks a barrel. Gas prices, they're holding steady. AAA says self-serve regulars national average remains about $3.81 a gallon. This could go for a song. Some of John Lennon's handwritten lyrics going on the auction block.
Auction House Profiles in History expects the draft lyric sheet to pull in more than $200,000 at a sale in Beverly Hills next month. When it was released in 1967 as part of the Sgt. Pepper's album, many speculated it was about LSD, which Lennon denied. He said the inspiration came from his son Julian, who was a child and drew a picture of a classmate named Lucy, and told his father who it was when he showed it off. A British woman named Lucy Vauden, whose maiden name was O'Donnell, revealed in 2007 that she had been the source of the song. She died in 2009. Salchi and Grasso, Fox News Radio.
People can now legally smoke pot in Arizona. Medical marijuana only. It's the 15th state to let patients supply to either buy or grow marijuana for medical reasons. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News Radio.
AM 1460, WVOX, and WVIP HD3, New Rochelle.
Our Thursday morning forecast for Westchester County and vicinity. We've got some nice weather coming up for today. It'll be mostly sunny after a little bit of early clouds. Temperatures will range into the mid-60s. Northwest winds at 10 to 15 today. Fair to partly cloudy for tonight. We're overnight lows in the lower 40s. Then Friday's looking mostly sunny with temperatures for the day into the middle 50s. Partly cloudy at night, upper 30s. Saturday also features an increase in clouds with the possibility of some rain. Temperatures for the day will range into the upper 40s. Looks like rain and wind for Saturday night. Nighttime lows in the upper 40s. Some leftover rain early Sunday. Then clearing, becoming mostly sunny. Highs will reach the mid-60s Sunday afternoon. Monday's partly sunny, mid-60s. Then partial sun on Tuesday, but with an increase in clouds, looks like some rain late day and evening. Our highs will reach the lower 60s. And rain likely Tuesday night and Wednesday. Recapping for today, mostly sunny, temperatures in the mid-60s, a little bit cooler, but partly to mostly sunny, mid-50s Friday. I'm meteorologist Steve Pelletieri for WVOX Worldwide, WVIP HD.
Steve Pelletieri's Eye on Weather is brought to you on WVOX Worldwide by Entergy and the Indian Point Energy Center, right for New York.
My name is Joe Pollack. I'm in charge of running the Indian Point Energy Center safely. We understand your need to hear from us about the safety of Indian Point, so here are some facts. Indian Point has been designed to withstand an earthquake 100 times the magnitude of the strongest earthquake ever recorded in this area. However, it is important to remember it was the tsunami, not the earthquake, that caused the loss of power to the cooling systems at the Japan plants. At Indian Point, we've added multiple layers of on-site backup power sources that are safe from flooding to assure our cooling systems will work whenever they are needed. All who work here have complete confidence in the safety of our plants. We continuously upgrade our systems, train constantly, and build redundancies in all our operations to assure safety. Our families and friends live here too. We would not be here if we didn't also believe that Indian Point provides clean, reliable, lower-cost power safely. Visit us online at safesecurevital.com.
From the historic city of New Rochelle, home of Francisco, Tom Sullivan, Dan Cronin, and the Sound Shore Medical Center of Westchester, the great and growing hospital for you and yours.
We have ways of making you talk.
This is a crazy man.
WVOX Worldwide.
1460 WVOX.
Good morning. Welcome to Environmentally Sound. I am Bob Levensold, your host for the series on the natural world, education, and culture, and chronicler of the demise of Homo sapiens. We bring you guests from diverse disciplines, scientists, activists, authors, educators, entertainers, and public officials. We seek to stimulate your curiosity, intellect, and passion. Today's news from the natural world. Today is Thursday, April 14th, 2011, the 26th. Day of spring. Time flies, one might say. Well, it does seem that way in the spring and summer. Then it seems to drag, excuse me, in the winter. All illusion, of course. There is no time. But for argument's sake, let us say that we have gained 3 minutes of daylight since yesterday, 37 minutes since last we met 2 weeks ago. The sun rose at 6:18 this morning. It will set at 7:33 this evening. We will have 13 hours and 15 minutes of daylight today. The moon will rise at 3:43 this afternoon. It will set at 4:25 tomorrow morning. We are between first quarter and full moon. Full moon is in 4 days, Monday, April 18th. Next high tides in New Rochelle at 2:40 this afternoon. I'm sorry, at 8:40 this evening. In Yonkers at 7:04 this evening. Tarrytown, 7:48. Haverstraw, 8:14. And in Peekskill at 8:27 this evening. Now a regular feature, the sad part of this program, names of American service members who have lost their lives at war. May they live on in all of our hearts. Forgive me while I locate that sheet. I am sorry. Let's come back to that. I have misplaced it and we'll come back to the names of the casualties. First of all, I have a couple of reviews. It's time now for the Culture Corner. My reviews of plays, movies, opera, ballet, museums, what have you. Keep in mind, these are my opinions, and you have the right to disagree with them, because everyone has the right to be wrong. In the first place, we reviewed Singin' in the Rain at the Westchester Broadway Theater here in Elmsford. As I always say, WTBT's productions are always worth seeing. Dinner and a show near home with professional actors, crew, directors, staff, and waitstaff for this price cannot be beat. Add to that the times the shows are truly outstanding, and you have a whopper of a resource right in your backyard. Not that only Westchester residents patronize this theater. The people at the next table from me were from Alpine, New Jersey, Chris Rock's home, and there are no doubt patrons from far and wide that regularly visit this fine venue. To the play at hand, the musical, Singin' in the Rain. I cannot imagine anyone mounting a better production unless the late Gene Kelly and Donald O'Connor and the just-turned 79-year-old Debbie Reynolds were to return to life and the stage, respectively, to reprise their roles. This is one of the best Westchester Broadway theater shows I have seen. Don't miss this one. The three principals were well up to their tasks and performed them beautifully. Jeremy Benton as Don Lockwood is almost on a par with Cody Williams as Cosmo Brown, which is high praise. At one time, I thought they were equal. But as the show progressed, I fancied I could actually see the wings on Williams' feet. That's Cody Williams. I am sure he never had a dance lesson in his life. He was born that way. Whether it was tap or soft shoe or just moving gracefully across the stage, I could imagine him handling the best of the best as a partner. Ginger Rogers, no problem. Not to take anything away from the excellent dancing, singing, and acting of Mr. Benton, but Cody Williams takes it to another level. Shannon M. O'Brien was fetching as Kathy Seldon, and the support cast was fine. The onstage rain was a great production touch, and Mr. Benton made a point of splashing as much as he could on the audience. I was a bit disappointed. I was in the third row. We didn't get wet. It's It's always fun to be involved in these productions. A lady in the front row happened to have an umbrella, or actually brought an umbrella for the occasion, and she raised it, and that gave us all a laugh. The story, such as it is good for a musical. It has a light plot with the right ending. No real evil, just vanity as the bad guy, and vanity loses. Set on the cusp of silence and talkies, those with pretty faces but ugly voices were destined to change careers to the equivalent of flipping burgers. And by those, I mean Lena Lamont, a pretty but shrill star of the silent screen. I actually had to hold my hands over my ears when she spoke, how shrill she was. I have to wonder if Ali Shower, the actress who played her, has a pleasant speaking voice. That is how convincing she was as the vocally challenged Lena. Great fun, great talent, great production. I definitely recommend you see that. That's Singing in the Rain at the Westchester Broadway Theater in Elmsford. We saw one other thing, the Broadway production of Bengal Tiger at the Baghdad Zoo. It stars Robin Williams, but it's not really a Robin Williams vehicle. He does a fine job because he is quite a good actor, but he is at his best doing improvisational comedy, as we all know. Not only his best, but the best of anyone, and in the category of his mentor, Jonathan Winters, who inspired this frenetic brand of train of thought comedy. But don't expect to see that in this publication. I'm sorry, in this production. The play does work, however. The rest of the cast plays very well. Special kudos to Arian Mowayed as Musa. Everyone is alive. Okay, this is the play. Everyone is alive in wartime Iraq at the beginning, including a tiger in the zoo who is under guard. His tiger nature gets him in trouble, and he ends up a ghost. So he is seen only by other passed-on beings. Well, that's the way it goes. Only the dead can see the dead. Isn't that true? Maybe not. The play captures the tension of war quite well, it seems, although only those who have served in combat can really make that assessment. There is jitteriness among the characters, both military and civilian, who are waiting to explode at any time. A couple of great lines in the play. One, even a dead man enjoys a Cuban cigar. And perhaps the most poignant is, God has spoken. This world is what he said. Director Moise Kaufman does a fine job of negotiating a hodgepodge of sets, one of the real challenges of stage directing. In movies, you have few constraints. You can move around. You can call cut. But in theater, you have a certain space, and the action must take place without loss of flow. It's tricky when you have multiple sets, and Mr. Kaufman does it well. He's had a long, successful career, including Broadway and London West End productions. He has numerous Tony and Emmy nominations for writing and directing. He's won an Obie for directing. That's off-Broadway. The metaphor, make thicky thick, was amusing, referring to sex, and the context was funny, but I was put off by overuse of F-bombs. Language is nuanced. When nuanced words are used to excess, they lose that quality, which is their reason for being in the first place. It's unnecessary to do that. It's off-putting. I prefer they don't use so much vulgarity. I'm not prudish. I'm not sensitive to that. I use the word, but you know, and you just overdo it and overdo it and overdo it. Say, okay, so what? Now what am I listening to? Now it's just an irritant to the ears. Okay, that is Bengal Tiger at the Baghdad Zoo at the Richard Rogers Theater with Robin Williams. It's a pretty fair production. If you like Broadway, you'll probably like it. If you can only go to one of the two that I have reviewed today, Singing in the Rain is the ticket. Okay, now the casualties. I have found that sheet of paper. And as I say always, it is the sad part of this program, and it's something we just do. Casualties this week. First Lieutenant Robert F. Welch, the third, age 26, from Denton, Texas. He was with the 1st Infantry, killed by indirect fire in Coast Province on April 3rd. Lance Corporal Harry Liu, age 21, of Santa Clara, California. He was with the 3rd Marine Division, killed in combat in Helmand Province on April 3rd. Staff Sergeant Scott H. Burgess, age 32, of Franklin, Texas. He was with the 84th Field Artillery Regiment, one of two soldiers killed when an individual in an Afghan border police uniform opened fire on them in Faryab Province on April 4th. The other soldier killed in that same incident was Staff Sergeant Michael S. Lemertz, age 26, of Tonawanda, New York. Also, Staff Sergeant Jeremy D. Smith, age 26, of Texas. I'm sorry, I didn't get the name of his town, but he's a Texan. He was with the 4th Marine Division, and he was actually a reservist with the Marine Forces Reserve. He was killed with a Navy corpsman in a friendly fire incident during patrol near Patrol Base Alcatraz in Helmand Province on April 6th. Killed along with him in this friendly fire tragedy was Seaman Benjamin D. Rast of the Navy, age 23, from Niles, Michigan. Sergeant Jason A. Rogers, age 28, of Brandon, Mississippi. He was with the 2nd Marine Division, killed by a roadside bomb in combat in Helmand Province on April 7th. Specialist Keith T. Buzinski, age 26, of Daytona Beach, Florida. He was with the 10th Mountain Division, killed by small arms in Logar Province on April 7th. And those are the Americans. And now also, you may recall this nutjob Florida pastor, Terry Jones, who burned a copy of the Koran. Well, after that, there were riots over there, and Lieutenant Colonel Siri Skari, age 52, she was from Oslo, Norway. She was the first female military pilot in the Norwegian Air Force. She was working as a military advisor, actually, to the United Nations, and she was killed during that attack at the UN office in Mazar-e-Sharif, Afghanistan, on April 1st. 12 people died in that same incident just because Florida pastor Terry Jones burned a copy of the Koran. You might say it's an overreaction to demonstrate because someone burns just a book, but it's not just a book to them. It's to devout Muslims. It's a terrible affront to what they believe in, and you have to respect that, you know, or accept the consequences, which is, well, that's what happens. These 8 American servicemen and 1 Norwegian ally were alive on the date of our last broadcast just 2 weeks ago. Thousands of American servicemen and women and our allies are at risk of their lives at this very moment, and many will be killed. Each death is a great loss to their families and to all Americans. May they live forever in our hearts. May this feature come to an end in the near future, because there are no more deaths to report. I have just a brief editorial before I introduce my guest. Yesterday, President Obama delivered a speech in which he, horror of horrors, called for a tax increase. Well, not exactly an increase. I guess I don't have time for this. Okay, we're going to have to take our break, and I will introduce my guest, who is Chris Meyer, in just a couple of minutes. You are listening to WVOX AM 1460 in New Rochelle, New York. If you're listening in Tata Creek, Canada, Clap Hill, UK, Ball Play, Tennessee, Backside, Scotland, or Seattle, Washington, you have logged on to www.wvox.com. You are listening live. I am Bob Lebensold. My guest will be, in just a minute, Chris Meyer. This is Environmentally Sound, and we will be right back.
Business news at 20 minutes past the hour, every hour. Here's the latest update from the Fox Business Network on WVOX Worldwide.
From the Fox Business Network, Wall Street moving lower in early morning trading after jobless claims jumping back above 400,000. Blue chips just past 10 a.m. Eastern are down 74 points. The Dow's below 12,200. 412,000 people joined the unemployment line last week, and that was far more than economists expected. It's the first time in a month initial jobless claims are above that 400,000 level. The four-week moving average, which smooths out volatility, rising to 395,750. And the latest reading on inflation at the wholesale level shows prices rose 0.7% in March. Higher energy prices accounted for nearly all of the increase. Core prices, which strip out food and energy prices, were up 0.3%. And more than 1 million trucks have been added to Ford's recall of pickup trucks from its F-Series. The automaker added trucks from 2004 through 2006 to the recall. Ford shares are down 2% just past 10 a.m. With the Fox Business Report, I'm Robert Gray.
Have you ever clicked the like button on a Facebook page to tell people you liked what it stood for? Apparently, a growing number of people of all political persuasions really like the idea of keeping decisions about your healthcare between you and your doctor and away from Washington insiders. To see our plan for making it happen, visit healthcarecompact.org. That's healthcarecompact.org. Log on today and help turn a Washington failure into an American success.
No matter where you go.
Driving in truck all day long.
Driving to work.
We're right there with you. WVOX Worldwide.
1460 WVOX.
Okay, we are back. I'd just like to continue with that editorial really quickly. This will just take a minute. I do want to get it in. As I said, President Obama yesterday called for a tax increase. And not it's actually not exactly an increase, but just an end to the tax cut that former President Bush handed to the wealthy. Now, of course, Obama's detractors will get on his back for calling for tax increases. That's a knee-jerk response. But there's a disconnect of sanity in this. Many of the president's detractors, and let's just eliminate the racists who don't like him because he's a man of color, or those who are just solid right-wingers who just cannot think any other way. But all of, even them, will benefit from these tax increases. The average guy will benefit. These are not taxes on middle-class people and working people. These are taxes on the rich. Why do we protect the rich? You will benefit, America will benefit, and many will also benefit from the health care plan, yet they denigrate it by referring to it pejoratively as Obamacare. What it is a sane, rational, appropriate use of tax dollars. So why do these people, many of you who are listening, I'm sure, knee-jerk react to tax increase? Because you're brainwashed by the wealthy, they don't want to pay more tax, and this tax increase does not affect you negatively. You do not pay more taxes, and you get more services because the wealthy are paying their share. They can well afford it. They persuade working-class people that tax increases will hurt them, will hurt you, but they won't. They will benefit you. The burden on you will be less. Thinking, not knee-jerk reacting, is what America needs. If you are not thinking, you are not helping your country. I don't care how much you wave the flag, you are not helping your country. I personally want tax increases. I look for tax increases. I support tax increases, but not on me, of course, and not on you listeners, most of you, but the people I see riding around in fancy cars, eating out in fancy restaurants, traveling all over the world, spending, and not wanting to pay their fair share. Some of them earn their money legitimately, fine, let them keep it. Not all of it, but let them still be wealthy. They're not going to be unwealthy. They're just going to be a little bit less wealthy. And some of them are not the people who even earned this money. They're sons and daughters and people who inherited this money. Why should they get more than you who work hard for your money? Why do you want to protect them? And let's not forget the people who own these big fat boats that we see out there at the shore. These are the people Bush gave handouts to. I want to see those taxes restored. Yes. More taxes. How can you run a household or a country if the members of that household or country don't pay their fair share? My guest today is Chris Meyer, Vice President for External Affairs and Information Services of Consumers Union, based right here in Yonkers. I took a tour of the facility earlier this week to get a feel for the place, and I was very impressed by their operation and by their personnel. Speaking to us from his home in Brooklyn, welcome Chris Meyer.
Morning, Bob. Thanks for having me.
Good morning. My great pleasure. It was a great pleasure meeting you as well. So you're playing hooky from work today. What's that all about?
hardly. But I'm one of those folks who's actually taking a trip tonight to visit my daughter who is studying abroad in Rome and Florence. So I'm getting ready. So, of course, I didn't think to prepare ahead of time, so I'm scrambling.
So you're scrambling, and what time is your flight?
All things, knock on wood, 7 o'clock tonight.
Okay. Is that noise on our end, Debbie? Or? Okay, we're having some noise in there. Chris, do I still have you?
You still have me.
Okay. So as I said, I took the tour. I was very impressed, and I learned things I had no idea about. Now, I generally treat everything and everyone with skepticism. I was inclined to believe that Consumers Union was a genuine company, and I was not disappointed. But not only am I sure that Consumer Reports is unbiased and scientific, but I learned you're also a lobbyist in Washington and consumer advocates. Why don't you tell us about that part of the operation?
Well, we view it as completing the consumer experience. The heart of Consumers Union, which is the parent of Consumer Reports, is our testing and our information that is read by 7 million subscribers and 20 million people overall each and every month. And what that does is arm each individual consumer with the information they need to make the wisest choices when they're purchasing products or services.
But Chris, is there something with your phone? We're getting some.
I don't know.
Do you hear what I'm talking about?
I am. I don't know which end it's on. How about this? Why don't we complete this segment, and then if you want to call me back, maybe it'll be better.
Okay, fine.
But
okay.
I will try to stand as perfectly still as I can.
Oh, you're walking around, are you?
Trying not to.
And you probably have a short in your phone or something. All right, go
you
ahead.
Never know.
Go ahead.
Anyway, so, but in addition to helping each individual consumer, we also believe there are larger systemic forces at play that hurt consumers, and that's why we've hired lobbyists and advocates in Washington and throughout the country to lobby on behalf of consumers, because we are outgunned and outnumbered by special interests by some significant percentage, and we want to help tip that balance back towards some rational discussion about what might be good for individual consumers. So that's why we hire people who make the policy extension of the information that we give consumers each and every day.
And I assume, as Vice President for External Affairs and Information Services, and your background as Executive Director of NYPIRG, the New York,
Public Interest Research Group.
So that was kind of a lobbying thing as well. So I presume you spend some time in Washington.
I do. In fact, we were there. I was there last week to help celebrate. This is our 75th anniversary. Believe it or not, Consumer Reports is 75 years young, and so we had a reception for some of our friends on Capitol Hill, both who work for government and those who advocate on behalf of consumers, and over 300 people came to kind of toast our success and wish us well for the future. So, and I got to visit with our terrific staff who lobby and advocate on behalf of health reform, financial reform, food and product safety, auto safety, media in democracy through telecommunications, and energy and environmental issues.
Cool. Do you happen to know Jeff Rook down there?
Jeff Rook, R-O-O-K?
No, R-U-C-H. I forget. It's a whistleblower advocacy group.
No, which one?
You know what? For some reason, it's escaping me, but I'll come up with it now.
Let's put it this way. I'm sure that our staff in D.C. do.
Yeah, he's a cool guy. Okay, so you do spend that kind of time down there. Now. While we still have a minute or two before our break, science has taken a beating at the hand of the plutocrats who own this country. And listeners, just in case you don't know what a plutocrat is, it's just plutocracy is a country that is run by and controlled by the wealthy rather than the people. So this democracy thing that you think we still have, we don't have. That is long gone. Political pronouncements now pass for science, which is bypassed whenever it suits these plutocrats. So, Chris, how do we get a science-based society back from those who would deceive us and are doing a really good job of it?
Well, fortunately, there is still an audience for science, and that audience are the subscribers and listeners and adherents to Consumer Reports. And our entire business model is predicated on providing the public with independent, tested information that we put out there that has to compete with the noise from those who are anti-science. And I hope we get to discuss that more in our next segment.
Absolutely. Okay, so it's time for us to take a break. Chris, we will call you back, okay?
Okay, you know what? Have your reporter give me, I'll give you a different number.
Okay. Okay. Debbie, can you take the call now? Okay. Stay on, she'll talk to you. Okay.
Thanks.
You are listening to WVOX AM 1460, New Rochelle, New York. If you're listening in Bangs Beach, Maine, Dunmoven, California, Beaverville, Illinois, Tight Squeeze, Virginia, Wiener, Germany, or Perth Amboy, New Jersey. You have logged on to www.wvox.com. You are listening live, and we will be right back.
With world and national news three times an hour, here's the latest update from Fox News Radio on WVOX Worldwide.
Fox News Radio. I'm Ron Flatter. The head of the government's air traffic organization has resigned one day after another air traffic controller is reported to have fallen asleep on the job. The Transportation Department already ordered more overnight staffing for control towers.
I believe that there should be two at all times.
Chris Bard of the Reno Tahoe Airport in Nevada, that's where the FAA says a controller working solo was caught napping when a plane tried to land early yesterday. The budget compromise that prevented a government shutdown last week is up for votes in the House and Senate today.
There's really not much doubt about its passage. The Democratic and Republican leaders say they do have the votes. It will take a bipartisan ballot. In other words, Democrats will have to help Republicans because some conservatives have begun complaining that it doesn't cut enough spending. And they even point to a Congressional Budget Office report that says that perhaps the cuts aren't as deep as they thought.
Fox's Carl Cameron in Washington. Fox News. We report. You decide.
Now in Westchester, for corporate travel, executive transportation, and custom limousine service, the leader, clearly, is Excel. After 2 decades in the county, Rich Guberti's Excel Transportation Service does just that. Specializing in sedans, limos, and 14-passenger vans, Excel is the new class of the fleet and the Westchester leader in terms of cars, service, resources, and the quality of their Excel drivers. Most of the Golden Apple's blue-chip companies have, in fact, in recent years, switched to Excel for local transportation and city-to-city service to Washington, Albany, Baltimore, Hartford, Boston, and Philadelphia at rates even less than rail or air. And you can use them too for a trip into town, the airport, or any special occasion. Call President Rich Guberti at Excel Headquarters, EXCEL Transportation, 576-9797, 914-576-9797. These days in Westchester, the new car service leader, because Excel excels. 576-9797.
And now with your latest up-to-date forecast, here's Steve Pelletieri's Eye on Weather, exclusively on WVOX Worldwide.
Our updated weather forecast for today, we've got some nice weather coming up after a little bit of early clouds. It'll become mostly sunny and our high temperatures ranging into the mid-60s. Northwest winds at 10 to 15. For tonight, partly cloudy with our overnight lows in the lower 40s. That'll be mostly sunny on Friday. Friday's highs in the mid-50s, partly cloudy at night, upper 30s. Saturday back to partial sunshine, then clouding over with a chance of some rain in the afternoon and at night. It's going to be a windy and cool day with our highs in the upper 40s. Looks like some early showers on Sunday, then clearing. I'm meteorologist Steve Pelletieri for WVOX Worldwide and WVIP HD.
This is America's great community radio station.
Really seems to be in touch with the heartbeat of the city.
AM 1460 WVOX.
1460 WVOX. We are back. You are listening to Environmentally Sound on WVOX Radio here in New Rochelle, New York. My guest is Chris Meyer, Vice President for External Affairs and Information Services at Consumers Union, which is based here in Yonkers in Westchester County. Okay, Chris Meyer, you're back. Hopefully we've resolved the clicking issues.
Sounds good to me.
Sounds good. Okay. We were talking about science and how science has taken a beating at the hands of the politicians. And you say there is still a large audience for science. I'm glad to hear that. I know the Science Times is popular, and you have a circulation of 20 million, and you are science-based and engineering-based, so that's hopeful. What else would you like to say about that?
Well, the trouble is that we're competing with a very well-funded, sophisticated machine that wants to undercut science in some incredibly important areas. And the environment is one area, but it goes beyond that, and it's difficult for an organization like ours, even though we are trusted and well-read, to be able to compete with that machine. And you see it every day when it comes to climate change discussions, but you see it in every facet of political life. And when politicians start to interfere with science-based judgments, whether it's in food safety or product safety or the environment, that's dangerous. And I think we're at a crossroads right now.
Well, and it's not even just science, it's just the truth of all kinds. I come to mind the Valerie Flame's husband, when he gave real solid information to the Bush administration about black cake or green cake or yellow cake, uranium, one of those things, to say, well, we really have no evidence that Saddam Hussein is doing anything. They said, oh, well, shut up, get fired, expose your wife, and we're going to bomb Iraq anyway. That's just a waste of American resources, including American lives, which is unconscionable. The same thing with science. Oh, everything is junk science if they don't like it.
Right. And we compete with the dangers of advertising, which overcome, you know, the truth in what products are all the time in the private sector. It's the trouble is that some of Madison Avenue's excesses when it comes to advertising have now spilled even more so into the political arena, which makes, you know, our jobs more difficult.
Now, I don't know if anyone's going to like what I say. I have to say it, though. Are we as a country or as a species, humans or Americans, are we really that stupid that we don't look at the science and say, this is human knowledge as has been tested and proven to the best of our ability. And this other stuff is just the rants of politicians and preachers and people who have no credibility whatsoever. Are we that stupid? That's the question.
I am a optimist by nature.
Another one.
My entire career doing public interest work. So I actually do believe that when information gets out to the public in a fair and balanced way, by and large, both politicians and the public make good decisions. But there are many, many examples to the contrary. I don't think this is a new debate, Bob. I think this is one that's existed as long as there has been advertising. I mean, as long as there's been ideology and that mix. I mean, sometimes you have forward-thinking leaders. A century ago, I would argue Teddy Roosevelt, in promoting conservation, took on, as you put it, the plutocracy. Mm-hmm. We've had other examples of political leaders who've been able to make science a huge priority. It's not often a popular one because it's often competing with other really important needs. But I would say a society that doesn't make important life and death decisions based on facts and science run the risk of endangering the population and the future, if I can be so bold.
So you can be so bold, and in fact we'll pursue it and get a little bolder. Do you think the future of America is grim based on the way we are, or is everybody like this? Is Germany and France and Italy and Russia, are they all like this, or is it just us?
Well, I no expert here on how other cultures operate. I'm not even trying to play a sociologist here today. I do think that the challenge of America, which is a great power, and I'm proud to live both in New York and in America, is a challenge because we consume a much larger percentage of the world's resources than we presently have. And the warning shocks of what we the world experienced when Japan had the earthquake and then the nuclear crisis will be ones that we have to face when it comes to our energy sources for years to come. And we have yet to have a really good, balanced discussion on what the future holds for our environment. And how we decide how to use our resources will have a huge impact on the rest of the world. And we have a lot to learn from the world. And as devastating as what happened in Japan was experienced by their people, thank goodness they had a really strong emergency preparedness program.
Oh, yeah.
Without that, it would be even worse.
Oh, it would be terrible.
Although I will say the Japanese government, in my own humble opinion, probably was slow to fully embrace the devastation. And I'm glad this week that they raised the threat level. But that's a cautionary tale to all countries on how they want to look at their energy sources.
Yeah, well, I also think that as far as alarming the public, that's part of the of when you say what, and you always try to avoid panic and all that. So I think government has to be a little slower. They have to stay behind the actual breaking news if possible. I mean, I not that I'm an apologist for them, but I do think they handled it pretty well. You did use the term fair and balanced. So you think, then that's the slogan of Fox News. So you think Fox News is probably all that objective, right?
Look, I without picking on anyone,
you don't want to get into that
media organization. I think there are many, many fine reporters at Fox. And,
you're good at what you do.
they've given us a lot of room in the past to say we need to say.
And they gave us The Simpsons, right? So they definitely do something. Rupert Murdoch is not all bad.
They do many, many good things,
including their presence on our station as well.
Exactly.
Now, on Tuesday, I saw your labs. I spoke with some of your people. They're very knowledgeable and enthusiastic about their jobs. I was really impressed, I must say.
Well, I will say, I'm really glad you had a chance to take the tour, and I encourage people who want to bring a group to Yonkers, if we can arrange it. We call it the magic of the building, which is this huge 50 labs and several hundred people work there, and the passion that our testing group, all of our groups have, but I think you got a chance to see the labs.
Yes.
They have. They would have had you stay for 3 hours to tell you every intricacy of how they test what they test because they are so into it.
Well, Anna and Jim, Anna in the food section and Jim in the electronics section, so enthusiastic. I wished I could have spent more time with each of them.
One of the best days of the year is we have an annual meeting, which is often the third Saturday in October, and we invite the public. It's largely subscribers who live nearby to come, and they get a chance to see some of the labs. And we You know, so our folks from the auto test track come down, often with a car, just to show you how we test a car, or the electronics lab, or our appliances. We try to go all out at least one day a year, but more than that, to try to show the public how it is that we take our what is almost a $5 million testing budget, and people may not realize we can't accept freebies. We go out and we buy all the products that we test.
Including all the cars.
Excuse me?
Including all the cars.
Yeah, we have anonymous shoppers. We call them our secret shoppers who go out there. They don't identify who they're buying on behalf of, and then we test it because we want to make sure that we're not being given any favors by industry, and so the public can always know they can trust our information.
And also they're not giving you ringer cars.
Exactly.
So I've often wondered where you get all those expensive items that you test and what becomes of them. So you actually buy all those cars. That's millions of dollars right there, I presume.
Yeah, no, it's not cheap.
So how do you dispose of them, and how much of your investment do you get back?
Well, a lot of it is one of the perks of working at Consumer Reports is that some of the products, after they're used, get put up for auction, and we have a chance to, you know, bid for them, and that helps to mitigate the cost of the test.
So are you driving one of those vehicles yourself?
Sadly, no. I'm a really bad bidder.
You try to cut it way down, right?
I need help.
How much of the investment do you get back? So let's say you spend $30,000 on a car. How much of that 30 do you get back and from the lucky bidder who gets it?
It's a pretty small percentage. But it does help. I mean, every little bit helps. I don't think it pays for itself, but I think it's both a nice way to thank the staff who work at a not-for-profit as well as help mitigate the cost. But the other thing that helps mitigate the cost is that we have a wonderful and loyal donation base, because many people don't know that we are a nonprofit. They see Consumer Reports and assume, like many of our competitors, that we're a for-profit, but we're not. And in fact, we raise almost $20 million each year from donors.
No kidding.
And most of them are small. The average gift is something like $20.
And they have to be anonymous, don't they?
No, they don't have to be anonymous. Many choose to be.
If General Motors gave you $10,000, you couldn't really accept that, could you?
Well, most places would welcome it with open arms, and we do too, but there's actually a special vetting process for checks of that size to make sure that there are no conflicts of interest. So we go well above and beyond when it comes to even a modest donation.
Very good. Okay, we have to take our last break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes. Thank you, Chris Maher. You stay with us, please.
Sure.
You are listening to WVOX AM 1460 in New Rochelle, New York. Chris Maher is speaking to us from Brooklyn. I'm guessing either Park Slope or Brooklyn Heights. Perhaps we can squeeze that information out of him. WVOX, New Rochelle, New York. I am Bob Levinsohn. This is Environmentally Sound. Our mentor is Bill O'Shaughnessy, and we will be right back.
With world and national news three times an hour, here's the latest update from Fox News Radio on WVOX Worldwide.
Fox News Radio, I'm Lillian Wu. No one was hurt in the latest case of an air traffic controller lapse, but the incident did knock the head of the air traffic organization from his position. Hank Rakowski submitting his resignation this morning, about a day after this problem Wednesday morning when a medical plane tried to raise the air traffic controller in Reno, finally reaching out to another control tower.
We're going to need to land. I said 10 November, Roger, and landing will be at your own risk. Yeah, the last reported wind was calm.
The controller out of touch for about 16 minutes.
The FAA says in a press release that it's placing additional controllers on the midnight shifts at 27 towers around the nation.
Fox Radio's Jessica Rosenthal and lawmakers on Capitol Hill slugging it out over another budget vote.
The deal cuts less than $40 billion for the rest of the fiscal year.
I don't think it goes far enough.
House freshman Steve Sutherland expected to join many other Tea Party-backed Republicans and reject the offer.
Fox Radio's Jared Halpern, Fox News. We report, you decide.
This is Ari Brown from The Ari Brown Show, airing Saturdays from 4 to 6 p.m. A very close family friend of mine is in desperate need of your assistance. 11-year-old Carlos Hart Newman has recently been discovered to have chronic kidney failure and is in need of a kidney transplant. We are seeking adults with type B or type O blood to join the list of potential kidney donors and to be screened for compatibility. Fortunately, there are no long-term health risks from donating a kidney, and you could be saving a young life. All costs related are covered. Potential donors have to pay no out-of-pocket expenses. The process is completely confidential and you can change your mind at any time. For more information, or if you are interested in being a potential kidney donor, email ggn@aol.com. Again, that's ggn@aol.com. Thank you for helping Carlos.
Hi, this is Bill Meth. Join Tom Merriam and me this Saturday morning at 8 right here on WVOX for the Metro Golf Show. Our special guest will be Tiger Woods' new coach, Sean Foley, who will review Tiger's performance at the Masters, and it'll also share some tips on how you can improve your golf game. We'll also look back at another memorable Masters tournament, plus another Bridgestone Golf Tip of the Week, the next stop on the Metro Golf Show Tour, and the season premiere of Diamond Links. You'll get all that and more this Saturday and every Saturday morning at 8 on what the New York Daily News calls the best local radio show covering golf, the Metro Golf Show on WVOX 1460 AM and WVOX.com. So tune us in before you tee off. The Metro Golf Show is sponsored in part by the Sybase Match Play Championship, Barbados Tourism, and Bridgestone Golf.
From now till quitting time, this is the official at workstation. AM 1460, WVOX, New Rochelle, and WVOX Worldwide.
1460, WVOX.
We are back. We are speaking with Chris Meyer of Consumers Union. They are the publishers of Consumer Reports and various other publications. Chris, I didn't give it a straight answer about how much of your investment do you get back. Is that classified, or is, can you
no,
give me an
I
estimate?
No, I don't know. Because it's not
do you get half
amount,
back?
It's not like I'm hiding anything.
Do you get half back?
I can get back to you on that.
Do you get it? No, it's
I
okay.
can't imagine we get half back if it's auctioned.
So less than that. So a $30,000 car that gets worked on for maybe a month of testing might go for $12,000.
God knows. If I knew how to bid, yeah. I'd be driving a better car.
I'm surprised that you don't have that together, but okay. Your magazine, you say, has 20 million subscribers.
Well, no, we have 7 million subscribers, but it's read by a larger number, because one subscriber may live in a household of a couple
okay.
of people. So, but just to be accurate, we have 3.6 million print subscribers
yes.
and 3.3 million online subscribers. And Bob, I know that you are a subscriber
both.
Of both.
Yeah. Is the overlap usual?
I would. There's several hundred thousand in the overlap category. So
okay.
you're not alone.
Okay. You are in the top 10 of magazines circulation
yeah,
in the whole country.
I believe we're fifth or sixth. Magazine circulation, which we're very proud of, given that we have no advertising.
That's cool. Okay, let me just clear something up from before. Jeff Rook is the executive director of PEER, which is Public Employees for Environmental Responsibility.
I will make sure that he's part of our list when we send things out.
Yeah, he does the good work. He's a good man. Okay, you have a couple of testing rooms. I mean, this just for our listeners. This is a high level scientific engineering facility. This isn't it's not a bunch of people sitting around saying, "Oh, let's see, do you like the Caddy? Yeah, but I like the Chevy." Well, it's not like that at all. They have very specific tests. And they have a couple of rooms that are specially designed. Now, there's this anechoic chamber.
Oh, did you get to do that?
Yeah, we got it. It's a little scary in there.
It's really weird, right?
Yeah, it's really
literally weird. No sound.
No sound whatsoever. The walls are some kind of alien life form that
it
sucks
looks like
sound.
A honeycomb, right? It was actually built by our staff.
And it costs $1 million to build that room.
Yeah, it's really quite wonderful. It's where we do a lot of our electronic sound testing.
So what happens in there is if they're testing speakers, there's absolutely no echo from the walls. There's absolutely nothing from anywhere else in the building because, as I understand it, as Jim explained it to me, that room is practically floating all by itself in its own little universe.
Right.
It has no connection to the rest of the building or the outside world.
It is weird to walk on. You feel like you're part of the NASA space program.
Yeah. I couldn't stay in there too long, honestly. And I knew where the door was and I knew it wasn't locked, but I was getting a little claustrophobic. We were talking and everything was completely flat. As soon as we walked out, the sound was so different. There were echoes from everywhere, something I would never notice. I mean, right here in this studio, I'm sure I'm hearing that. but it's just we take it for granted.
Okay. Right. Well, that's part of the my favorite part of working at Consumers Union is the not just the passion, but the ingenuity and the thinking that goes behind our testing plan.
Yes.
We plan literally a year in advance what we hope to test because it takes that long often to get our labs in shape to be able to produce the kind of tests that our subscribers want. And what makes it doubly hard is our subscribers want even faster input on the products they're buying. So we now test more than 3,000 products a year in the 50 labs.
And we are speaking with Chris Meyer, Vice President at Consumers Union. You know them better as Consumer Reports magazine. There's another room in there that was also interesting. They have signal generators and an internal cell phone tower, like a mini tower. So it isolates and clarifies signals exactly to get true test results when testing cell phones. In other words, if you go in there with a cell phone and the equipment's off, you get zero bars. There's nothing else but that generator.
And that's becoming increasingly important as smartphones and cell phones become a part of everybody's life. In fact, one of the biggest issues that we were involved in last year had to do with the iPhone, where we, thanks to our readers, helped break a story about how in many areas the iPhone just couldn't pick up signals.
And AT&T was partly responsible, but even now when they're with Verizon, I think they're still having some problems, aren't they?
Right, and you know, it was a rare news conference where Steve Jobs from Apple had to concede, not just because of Consumer Reports, but that there were some problems with the iPhone, and you know, a lot of the very loyal Apple customers are still mad at us about both what we said about the iPhone 3, but also the 4, where we say lots of nice things about it, but you still do have this nagging problem that they need to deal with that does not allow us to recommend it, and that's what makes us famous. We have very high standards when it comes to those things.
And you're also being too modest. I'm quite sure that Consumer Reports had a lot to do with that news conference and him doing it. But, you know, again, that's Apple people. I have an Apple computer, but I don't kiss Steve Jobs where the sun don't shine. You know, I do believe in that product. But there are people who look at him as a guru at least and perhaps a god, whatever he puts out. They consider perfect, and you can't criticize it. Isn't that something?
Well, and that's what makes that's one of the reasons why I like coming to work every day is all we want is a fair, just, and even marketplace, and that often means that we sometimes have to criticize products, and that's one of the reasons why not having to take advertising gives us a platform to be able to not just tell you what the best products are, but what the problems are with products.
Yes, that's like Toyota, for instance. They had some major problems recently, and you put them on a do not buy right now list, and then you put them back and said, okay, they proved themselves. So you're right on the top of it, too. It's not like you say, all right, well, that was last year's news. It's not last year, and your online thing is so quick that as soon as it's tested, it's right there.
Well, we test 70 cars a year, and each car has about 50 different tests that it goes through. I really invite you, Bob, next time you want to explore East Haddam, Connecticut, to come to our auto testing lab where we have a 327-acre estate.
I intend to do that.
They will put you through the paces.
Yeah, do I get to drive one of the cars on their track?
Probably we would not want you to do that, but nor would I want you to do what I have to do, which is...
I always wanted to roll over in one of them SUVs.
If you have to sit next to the guys who do the testing, they're excellent drivers, but I wouldn't recommend driving with them on the highway.
here's something that I got. I was talking to Anna. They were doing salad dressing,
right?
And she says there are experts who can tell you the quality of something. Now I have a problem with that. What if you really love something? She says it has nothing to do with whether you like it or not. She says there's a quality thing. Now how does a professional taster? I don't care how professional you are. How do you go in there and say, well, this stinks, but I really like it, or I don't like this, but it's really high quality. How do you separate those two?
Well, it's really hard, right? So what we do is we do the best we can to explain the different qualities that go into what we believe is a good food experience. But we're quick to say that just because, you know, we say something doesn't mean that you necessarily have to agree with it. But based on these qualities, we like, you know, McDonald's coffee more than Starbucks. I can't tell you the number of people friends of mine who would violently disagree with me about that. And that's fine, but, you know, based on, you know, our professional opinion, this is a better experience. And what we try to do is put ourselves in the shoes of our subscribers and say, how would you practically use a product, or how would you practically experience, you know, coffee, and let people make their own judgments.
But Chris, we want you to tell us what to do.
All we can do is give the information to you and let you make your best decision.
I mean, Anna told me that in one test, that the 8 o'clock A&P coffee was as good as any of the Blue Mountains for $45 a pound, or the Hawaiian Konas.
One of our favorite things to do to our friends who anchor national TV shows is to ask them to compare a generic brand to a heavily advertised store brand, and it's really hard to taste the difference sometimes. Or sometimes the store brand, which is half the price, is better.
Yeah, well, apparently so. I mean, since I'm an avid reader, and you know, yours is the only magazine I actually read cover to cover. I do skip some of the things. I don't read all the car stuff because I'm not shopping for a car.
Right.
But I do look at all the items, and even those that I don't intend to buy necessarily, they're very interesting.
Well, we appreciate that, and we hope that you and your audience gets to experience some of the other products, the publications. Shop Smart, which is a magazine that has become a really important magazine for us. It's written in a slightly breezier style, mostly meant for women, but it's a wonderful read, and it's gorgeous. Or our Money Advisor or Health Newsletters, which give really detailed information to those of all ages when it comes, especially now, to juggling finance.
Okay, and to find out more, what is your website, please?
Well, go to consumerreports.org.
Okay, www.consumerreports.org. Now, I understand there's a name change just to eliminate some of the confusion, because some people hear Consumers Union and they don't know what you are until you say we publish Consumer Reports. So you're going to change your name.
Well, it's not clear that we're going to legally change the name, but the identity offering we're going to be promoting more as Consumer Reports rather than Consumers Union. But we still haven't put the finishing touches on that yet. So when we're ready on what that exactly means, you will know.
Okay, so, but I guess the...
But most people know us as Consumer Reports.
They know you as
anyway.
Consumer Reports, yes. And I presume if you go to either Consumers Union or Consumer Reports in Google or any search engine, you're going to come up in the same place.
Absolutely, and we'll still have both names. But when I go to cocktail parties now and I say I'm with Consumers Union, it doesn't get quite the same effect as when I say I'm with Consumer Reports, and then they want to tell me how they disagree with us on our coffee testing.
All right, speaking of that. You're from Brooklyn. Is it Park Slope or Brooklyn Heights? I'm saying it's one of those two.
I'm going to defy the cultural stereotype. I'm from Windsor Terrace.
I don't even know where that is. Downtown
exactly.
Somewhere, right?
It's near Park Slope.
Okay. All right, Chris, thanks so much for being with us. We got to go. It's been very informative. It's great knowing you. Have a great flight to Italy.
Thank you, Bob.
Okay. I'd like to thank Chris Meyer for leaving his packing aside for this hour. I often reflect on the condition of life in America and on planet Earth, not so much anymore, as both go further into the crapper. But when I do, I think of men and women like Chris. Our thought for the week, life is not measured by the number of breaths we take, by the moments that take our breath away. Stay tuned to WVOX. Next up, Howard Sturman of the Fighting Sturmans. I am Bob Lebensold, chronicler of the demise of Homo sapiens. Thank you very much for listening, and remember to be kind, for everyone you meet is fighting a great battle. You are here. It is now health.
The information you need all day long and the...